Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Crimatorium. Rebecca Rood stands accused of killing her own daughter, Savannah Leckie, in Ozark County, Missouri. Savannah was just 16 and her life took a tragic turn when she moved from her adoptive home in Minnesota to live with her biological mother in Missouri. This move was prompted by difficulties Savannah experienced in her adoptive home. Tamile Leckie Montague, Savannah's adoptive mother, asked Rood to take Savannah in, and Rood agreed. This is a bench trial, meaning there's no jury. Only a judge will decide the outcome. A condensed version of the trial will be presented, with some edits for clarity and pacing. The recording of Rebecca Rood speaking to her attorney had to be heavily edited and is a little hard to understand, but it's worth a listen. There were technical difficulties with the stream, therefore other parts of the recording needed heavier editing as well. I'd like to take a minute to give a special shout out to my amazing patrons. Susan, John, and Chris, your support means the world to me. Thank you for believing in what I do.
Savannah Frances Lee Leckie, she was a typical teenage girl with an atypical life, unfortunately, that ultimately led to a horrifying and tragic end that no person, especially no child, should ever have to experience in rural Ozark County between July 20th, 2017. I expect this court, Your Honor, will hear that Savannah was born on June 3rd, 2001 to the defendant, Rebecca Rood. Various witnesses will tell you that Miss Rood thought she was not fit to be a mother, and that sometime before Savannah's birth, her mom met Tamile Leckie Monte, and a friendship was established between the two. Tamile and her then husband David Leckie could not have children on their own, and so Savannah was born. And I expect that you're going to hear that through a long and convoluted process, Tamile and David eventually adopted Savannah as their own child. And they even took in Savannah's half-sister, Michaela. You'll hear about how Savannah lived in Minnesota with David and Tamile until about 2016, the later half of 2016, when she was 15 years old. I expect you'll hear in 2010, David and Tamile separated, as many people do. Many marriages end in divorce and separation, and Savannah, being a typical teenage girl, began to act out. And I expect you'll hear from Tamile and other witnesses that Savannah was on the autism spectrum, and she would also cut herself. And a lot of this occurred, a lot of the cutting occurred because of what was going on in her home life. Eventually, it was decided that Savannah would be better off with her biological mother in Ozark County, the defendant. Tamile and David, they believed they had exhausted all options and worked out an agreement with Savannah and David. David owed child support to Tamile due to the separation, and Tamile would pay a portion of that child support to the defendant. You'll hear that the defendant herself went up to Minnesota, picked up Savannah, and brought her to Ozark County in late 2016. And you'll hear that Tamil and Savannah kept in touch, and Tamil talked to Rebecca. Eventually, something changed. And Savannah was reported missing on July 20th of 2017. Now, how I expect the state will present its case in this, its evidence in this case, it will first be a broad overview of the case. The state expects to present the testimony of now former Sheriff Darren Reed. Sheriff Reed will tell you about how he was at a training, I believe in Columbia, Missouri, on July 20th, when he received a phone call about a missing juvenile child, Savannah, in the area of Theodosia. I expect Sheriff Reed, being the chief law enforcement officer for Ozark County, rushed back from Columbia in record time to go to the location where the child was reported missing. That's the defendant's farm in rural Ozark County. Now, Sheriff Reed gets his two most experienced deputies to work on this case, Chief Deputy Winston Collins and Deputy Curtis Dobbs, who are both now with the Christian County Sheriff's Office. I expect Sheriff Reed will give you some background information about this very, very rural part of Ozark County, the property itself, and will tell you about his involvement in the case, where he was present for numerous search warrants executed on the property, which ultimately culminated in the discovery of human remains in a burn pile on August 4th, 2017. And the court's going to see photographs of that burn pile and the process by which it was disassembled. Sheriff Reed will tell you he immediately knew when he got there on July 20th, 2017, that there was no way that Savannah could have left this remote and large piece of property that was in the ruralest parts of this state. Next, I expect you'll learn that before July 20th, there was a fire at defendant's farm that raged out of control on July 18th. You'll hear that the defendant herself was actually a volunteer firefighter, and she knew she was supposed to call sheriff's office if there was a fire like this. But instead, she called everyone but the sheriff's office. She called all and several members of the various fire departments that she worked with. They were dispatched, and they helped put out the fire, and you'll hear from some of those firefighters. Now, I expect you'll hear that some of the firefighters knew Savannah. After all, the defendant was a volunteer firefighter. And they wanted to check on her well-being that day on the 18th. But the defendant would not let them anywhere near the camper trailer on the property where Savannah lived. You'll hear that it was an intensely hot day in July, much like it is now, and that they wanted water, which would have brought them close to the camper trailer. And the defendant refused their request for water and would not let them see Savannah that day. You'll hear that none of the firefighters actually checked Savannah for any injuries that day. The defendant told everyone that Savannah was naked in a sealed up camper trailer that had no electricity on a sweltering summer's day. You'll hear from Robert Pete Jr., the defendant's then boyfriend and later husband. Pete Jr. was with his father, Pete Sr., on that day, when they both responded to the residence. Pete Jr. was one of the persons that received a phone call from the defendant on July 18th, and his dad was a volunteer firefighter, so they headed out to the defendant's residence. Pete Sr. tended to some physical injuries, some burns that the defendant had on that day. And while Pete Jr. helped rake out the fire, snuff out the fire that day, the fire department left. Pete Jr. stayed behind to be with his girlfriend, the defendant. Pete Jr., I expect, will tell you that Savannah was last seen the next day, July 19th, very late into the evening, chasing fireflies on the hill, that it must have been 11 o'clock at night, and that there was an argument between the defendant and Savannah about some homework that had not been done, and that Savannah went to the bed in the camper trailer. And she was never seen again until August 4th, 2017, when what was left of her was discovered in a burn pile. Savannah would be reported missing late the next morning on July 20th. You will hear about the extensive efforts that the Ozark County Sheriff's Office went to find Savannah and the defendant's insistence that she ran away. The search was extensive, officers from many different agencies, Highway Patrol, the Sheriff's Office, Arkansas, were all there, and civilians in a helicopter and a fixed-wing aircraft were brought in, all to no avail, because the defendant knew where she was all along, in that burn pile that was discovered on August 4th, 2017. You will hear, and how do we know this? You'll hear from the defendant herself, admitting.
Your Honor, we will need to object to where he is beginning to go in his opening statement. He's going to talk about a recording, and we need to, for the record, object to this recording being brought in as that it is.
Brought in as evidence.
Yes, that it's brought in as evidence, but that it's also that it is, we believe it's still protected, and we have to argue that.
Okay. Obviously, Judge, my response to that is the Missouri State Supreme Court has said otherwise. Thank you. You'll hear the defendant herself admit to burning Savannah's body.
I will make that a continued objection, and any time that he references the tape, so we don't have to stop every time. Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. You'll hear that the defendant herself admits to burning Savannah's Blecky's body. So the defendant got a lawyer after many searches were conducted on her property. Now, obviously, everybody has a right to an attorney. There's no disputing that. But for whatever reason, the defendant made a poor decision and brought a recording device with her to the office of the Missouri State Public Defender and recorded her conversation with two members of that office. And you will hear that conversation that the that Savannah died as a result of taking drugs, according to the defendant, and that she came across her dead body and burned it. But that's only partially true, Your Honor. That's the defendant's story. What really happened, as I expect on the last day of trial, is we expect to present three separate women that were all housed with the defendant at some point in time during the pendency of this case in the Taney and Ozark County jails. One of these women, Kathy Hilton, has never met the other two women. You'll also hear from Sarah Johnson and Jessica Wallen, who were housed with the defendant in the Ozark County jail. Ms. Wallen will tell you that the defendant admitted that she had crushed up pills and put them in a drink, likely Kool-Aid or something similar. Sarah Johnson will tell you about how the defendant told her she wasn't getting money, the child support, and that she was supposed to be getting that money and that she wasn't going to lose her farm because of some, quote, bratty kid, along with some other unprompted comments about holding someone down in a fire. Finally, you'll hear from Kathy. Kathy Hilton, all of these people are not very good, Your Honor. They're convicted felons. The state admits that. They were in jail for one reason or another. And you'll hear from Kathy that on the night of the 19th, the defendant drugged Savannah with hydrocodone that she had gotten in the days before due to her injuries on her arm. And that the defendant thought she was dead, thought Savannah was dead, and brought her body to the burn pile to dispose of the evidence. And Kathy Hilton will tell you that the defendant admitted to her to throwing Savannah's body in the burn pile. She wasn't dead. She woke up screaming. And that during this screaming, the defendant hit her with a rake or other type of long-handled implement until she could scream no more. And after all that was left to Savannah was a bag of bones. And after you hear all of the evidence presented in this case, I will ask the court to return a verdict of guilty as to murder in the first degree, as no child should ever have to suffer the same fate as Savannah Frances Lee Leckie. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. This case is a tragedy. I think that is probably about the only thing that is clear and agreed upon by the state and the defense in this case. You're going to hear that Rebecca Rood gave birth to Savannah in June of 2001. You're going to hear how Rebecca Reba, as her friends and family would call her, was abused by her mother. And when she gave birth to Savannah, that mother who had abused her kidnapped Savannah. And there was a long process. And you are going to hear that she fought to get her daughter back, and she did that so that Savannah could be adopted by Jamil and David Leckie, who she had become friends with. She got to know them. In fact, it was more than friendship. In fact, you're going to hear from Jamil. We believe you'll hear from Jamil that she was like sister, like a sister, like family. And in fact, Savannah had three younger siblings that she loved and adored. One of them being another biological child of Reba, and that they adopted as well. And you're going to hear some information about that adoption and how it took place. You will hear how Savannah always knew that Reba was her birth mother. There was never any secret about that. Reba was in the life of Savannah all the time. You'll hear how for around 15 years, Savannah lived with Jamil in Minnesota. But during that time, family dynamics changed. There was a divorce. There was a new person, new boyfriend that came in, then another different boyfriend that had come in. You're going to hear that Savannah was diagnosed with ADHD and was on the autism spectrum. She was also diagnosed with depression. In fact, the defense will present evidence to show how Savannah was hospitalized at least twice for suicidal ideation due to self-harm and a plan to commit suicide. And at least at the last hospitalization in June of 2016, she was prescribed medications for her ADHD and depression. And Jamil did not want her released from that hospital. In fact, the defense will show that she indicated to that hospital that if Savannah was released, she would be dead. You will hear how Jamil no longer wanted Savannah to live with her, and she pushed this vulnerable and susceptible and troubled teen to live with her biological mother in Missouri. She didn't let her live with family. There were options. She didn't let her live with any of those in Minnesota. She pushed her to the farthest place she could push her. There was no plan for this to be a successful venture. The legal authority for Reba to take care of Savannah wasn't there. It wasn't given to her until June of 2017. There was supposed to be, and I think you'll see this in text, an agreed upon amount of $250 a month that was supposed to be sent to Reba to care for Savannah. But it was rarely sent. And when it was sent, there were deductions for random things. Power of attorney that did finally come was in June of 2017, even though it was promised early on. There was no guardianship. You will hear there was no way for Reba to take care of the child, get her the medication she needed, or any of that as far as getting medical help. She didn't have the legal authority. So part of that, what you will hear is that she was continued to be enrolled in a Minnesota online course instead of being transferred to a Missouri online schooling because Reba couldn't do that because she didn't have that legal authority. You will hear how this experiment was supposed to be for a trial basis until Thanksgiving of 2016. But you will hear how that date came and went, no Jamil or David. Christmas 2016 came and went, no Jamil or David. In fact, Jamil couldn't even bother to take calls from Savannah, much less after the first few months. However, even though this was a tough time for Savannah, not seeing her family in Minnesota, her grades were improving. You will see that in some text messages, I believe, and other testimony. We anticipate you will also hear how Savannah continually was let down by her Minnesota family. They would promise to come see her and then would not show up. They would promise to come in November 2016, December 2016. And then in June of 2017 for her birthday. But the days came and went, and no Jamil or David. One bright spot for Savannah during that time was she got to see her grandparents in April of 2017. And she was excited about that. She was happy. She hadn't seen anybody since she had left there. She got to see them for about a day and a half, maybe. And there was some flooding that came in, and they needed to get out of there. I think that's what you'll possibly end. We anticipate you're going to hear that Savannah was hardworking around the farm. You'll hear that from people who knew her on the farm. She also enjoyed her time on the farm. She enjoyed the animals on the farm. She also enjoyed being a cadet on the Theodosia Fire Department. And I believe you'll hear that from the volunteer fire persons that are going to be witnesses and they enjoyed having her around. And she was a strong, able-bodied young woman that was dealing with some mental health issues. But she was not weak or disabled, as you might hear from a few of the state's witnesses. Reba has been incarcerated since August of 2017. Now, during that time, she would have come in contact with hundreds of other inmates and facilities she was housed in. Out of the hundreds of other inmates she would have been in contact during that time, only three have tales to tell. And you will be able to judge the credibility of those witnesses. You'll hear some fantastical stories from each of these three witnesses, but their stories don't align with the other witnesses who are actually there. They also don't align with the evidence. But some of what they will align with are the stories from the media that were out at that time. The state will call several law enforcement officers. We anticipate that they will all tell you how hard they worked on this case and how they investigated this fully. What we believe you will also notice, although you will never hear, is how from the very beginning, this was not a missing persons investigation. It was, in fact, a death investigation. It was about the thoughts and feelings and not evidence. And that was even said and would be quoted from Sheriff Reed in newspaper articles from the Ozark Times. Here's what you are not going to hear from the state's witnesses. You are not going to hear that Savannah was murdered. You will hear no scientific evidence as to the cause of death, the manner of death, or the actual time of death. You're going to hear admissions from Rebecca herself that she burnt Savannah's body. But that is all you're going to hear, because that is all she did. And we are going to ask at the end of this trial that you find Rebecca Reed not guilty of counts 1, 2, and 3.
Your Honor, the state will call Sheriff Darren Reed. Can you state your name for the record, please?
Darren Reed.
And Mr. Reed, what is your current position?
I am retired. I own my own business and I also deal in real estate.
In July 2017, how were you employed?
I was the sheriff of Ozark County.
How long were you the sheriff of Ozark County?
2 terms.
So 8 years?
8 years.
And do you recall some events in July and August of 2017?
Yes, I do.
And why do you recall those dates?
There was a missing child in Ozark County in the Theodosia area.
And do you recall receiving a phone call about a missing child in Ozark County sometime around that those dates?
I was in Columbia, Missouri, and I received a call from my chief deputy that said there was a child missing, and I left Columbia immediately and come back.
All right. And do you recall what date you got that phone call?
July 20th, 2017.
And did you immediately leave Columbia and get down to Ozark County?
Yes.
All right. How long did it take you to get there?
Probably 2.5 hours.
All right. And where was the location that you responded to?
It was on the west side of Theodosia on a county road. I don't recall the county road number.
All right. Is that in Ozark County, Missouri?
Yes.
All right. And is this a very rural and remote location?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's very remote.
Okay. Could you describe it to the judge?
Whenever I got to the scene, I know I went through a gate, and the barn was probably a quarter mile off of the road, off of the county road.
And is this a place that has electricity?
I didn't see no electricity.
Okay. Running water and sewage?
There was a well that had to be turned on by generator.
All right. And for the purposes of our questioning here today, is it okay with you if we refer to this as the Rood Farm?
Yes.
All right. And can you tell us what you did when you first got to the Rood Farm on July 20th of 2017?
Whenever I first got there, we had several first responders that showed up, and we started conducting, it was an 80-acre farm, and we started conducting a search of the whole property.
Okay. And can you describe those search efforts that were undertaken by you and your office and on that day?
We walked it. The first day we walked it. It was about 103 degrees, and the guys just walked. We formed a line and just walked through the woods.
How many agencies were involved?
Ozark County Sheriff's Department. I had Missouri State Highway Patrol come in, and Theodosia first responders.
And did you assign particular deputies to investigate Savannah's disappearance?
Yes, Chief Deputy Winston Collins and Deputy Curtis Dobbs.
And was a helicopter used on that day to search for Savannah?
I'm sorry.
Was a helicopter used on
yes.
that day?
Yes. I made contact with Lieutenant Rick Lucy with the Mountain Home Sheriff's Department, Baxter County Sheriff's Department, and they assisted us by bringing their helicopter up and they flew the area. Also, I used one of my deputies as a pilot. He's got a plane and he also flew over the area.
And were your search efforts at all successful in locating Savannah on that day?
No, it was not.
All right. And when I say Savannah, is that the missing juvenile that y'all were looking for on that day?
Yes.
Savannah Leckie?
Yes.
All right. And did you go back out to the property on July 25th?
Yes.
And was another search of that property conducted on that day?
Yes.
Were some cadaver dogs brought out on July 25th?
Yes.
All right. And what was the weather like? Do you recall?
It was humid. It was anywhere from 100 to 103 degrees.
And was that search at all successful on that day, on the 25th?
Without looking at notes, I can't remember if that's the day that I found Savannah or if it was the day or the next time after that.
Okay. You went out to the property on a later date, right?
Yes.
Several times.
Yeah.
All right. Do you recall going out to the property again on July 27th?
There were several days we went out there, yes. I looked over the report, and July 27th was the day we was out there.
Okay. Was that a day where you received consent to search from the defendant?
Yes.
And was the entirety of the property once again searched on that day?
Yes.
And was anything located, was the missing juvenile located on the 27th?
No.
All right. I'm going to direct your attention to August 4th of 2017. You remember August 4th?
Yes.
All right. And did you recall if you went to the property again on August 4th?
Yes.
And why did you go to the property on August
4th? The investigation started to turn a little bit then from a missing person to maybe something else. I just had the feeling that this investigation was turning. And that's whenever I told Deputy Dobbs to try to secure a search warrant because I didn't think Ms. Ridge would let us back on the property.
All right. And did Deputy Dobbs manage to secure a search warrant?
Yes, he did.
All right. And were you part of that team that went out there to serve that search warrant?
Yes, I was.
And when you arrived to the property that day, was the property locked up?
Yes, the gate was locked with the padlock on it. And I had Deputy, I think it was Tiffany Neal, call Miss Rude, finally got her on the phone. And she said she'd be up the gate a little bit and she wouldn't allow us on the property.
So was there an attempt to get a consent search done that day?
Yes, there was.
And Ms. Root didn't provide her consent?
No, she did not.
But you still have the search warrant, correct?
Yes.
All right. And so was the padlock opened by Ms. Root or did it, or someone
Your
else?
Honor, I think I'm going to object. I mean, he's kind of let this go for a while, but he just keeps leading the witness. He's telling the story instead of letting the witness tell the story. I think that's what we're supposed to do.
Your Honor, I'm not leading the witness. The questions I'm asking do not suggest an answer.
No, they give the answer. It's not suggested.
Well, they do kind of suggest the answer, Mr. Brown. He's just answering yes or no. Is that what happened next? Versus the other way is, well, how did you get on the property?
All right, Judge, I'll rephrase the question.
Okay.
Yes. Did you enter the property that day?
Yes.
Can you tell us how you got on the property?
I executed a search warrant.
Okay. Did you forcibly get on the property or did someone let you in?
Well, I have a master key, which is a bolt cutter, and she decided to unlock the gate and let us in with the search warrant.
All right. Were there cadaver dogs present on that day?
Pardon?
Were there cadaver dogs present for that search
yes.
warrant? How many people were there for this search, for the execution of the search warrant?
We had several members from my staff. We had three members from the Missouri State Highway Patrol and first responders.
Did you divide those people up into teams?
Yes.
And were they assigned to search different locations?
Yes.
And where did you go that day?
You know, I was in a side-by-side with my chief deputy, and I had him drop me off at the bottom of a hill, and I walked back in through the woods.
And there are many hills on this property?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And do you know if the cadaver dogs ever hit on anything?
Again, I'm going to object. He's asking him questions about what is happening instead of asking him to tell. He's giving him the answer.
I'm not giving him the answers, Ms.
DeVoe. I'll rule that one. It's unlike the gate one. This is a little bit different.
Do you know if the cadaver dogs ever hit anywhere on the property?
Yes, they did.
Okay. And can you tell us about that?
I'll tell you the whole thing. I was walking through the woods. I knelt down and prayed, like I do often. I got up and I walked up to this opening, and I seen a great big cedar pile. And I just stood there at the edge, just kind of watching the things and surroundings. And I seen a cadaver dog coming down the hill. The cadaver dog went up to the cedar pile. He pawed the cedar pile and then sat and stared at me for a couple minutes and then run off. Joe Mosella, the owner of the cadaver dog, come walking down the hill, and I walked up to him and I said, "What will your dog do when it hits? Gets a strong hit?" He said he'll paw.
I will stop you right there.
Okay. Ask another question.
Yes. Did you see the dogs react in some way?
Yes.
Okay. And after the dog reacted, was another dog brought in?
Yes.
And did you see that dog react in some way?
Yes.
All right. And at that point, could you describe this pile that you saw?
It was a very, very large, fresh, green cedar that had been piled up pretty high. I had the crew measure the circumference of the pile and also the height of the pile.
And do you recall how high was that pile?
I don't recall how high it was. I know it was a big pile.
Sheriff Reed, I'm going to approach and show you what I've marked as State's Exhibit 24. Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
All right, what is that?
That is a pile of cedar.
Okay, was that the pile from the search on this day?
Yes, it was.
Was that the pile where the dogs reacted?
Yes, it was.
All right. At this time, Judge, I'm going to move to admit State's Exhibit 24 into evidence.
Your Honor, I'm going to object. I don't believe he's got the foundation on that photograph.
Is this a fair and accurate representation of that cedar pile on that day?
Yes, it was.
At this time, I'll move to admit State's Exhibit 24. I want to show you what I've marked the State's Exhibit 25. Could you tell us what that's a photo of?
That's a photo. I instructed Deputy Dobbs to take photographs of everything that was going on. And that is Sergeant Warren Wiedemann holding the tape measure up high. This is another Highway Patrol female that was there assisting him.
Okay. And is this to show how tall this cedar pile was?
Yes.
And is this a fair and accurate representation of that cedar pile on that day?
Yes, it is.
All right. At this time, State will move to admit State's Exhibit 25.
Be admitted.
All right. Can you tell us about the, was that cedar pile disassembled?
Yes, it was.
All right. Can you tell us about the process of disassembling that cedar pile?
Okay. I instructed, there was about six of us, and I got in there along with them, and we removed the cedar off, you know, to another location.
Okay. And was it preserved at another location?
Yes.
What was the purpose in disassembling the cedar pile?
I had a feeling that we would have something there at the bottom of that cedar pile.
Okay. Was something located at the bottom of the cedar pile?
Yes, it was.
Can you tell us what was located?
There was ash burn that was probably 6 foot in length and 4 foot in width.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as State's Exhibit 26. You recognize that?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell us what that is?
That was at the bottom of the burn pile, the ash.
And that's that ash pile you were referring to?
Yes.
And are you in that photograph?
I think that is my egress.
Is that with a walking stick?
Yes.
All right. Is that a fair and accurate representation of the ash pile on that day?
Yes.
All right. At this time, Judge, we would move to admit State's Exhibit 26.
Objection.
Admitted.
When you got to the bottom of the ash pile, Did you locate any objects?
Yes, we did.
All right. Could you tell us about that?
We had looked around there. I think Sergeant Warren Wiedemann had looked and was kind of determined that there wasn't much there. And it was a hot day and the cadaver dogs, they needed to use them in other locations. I had a walking stick because of a recently broken back and also a broken neck. So I had a walking stick I was using out in the woods that day. And Deputy Dobbs was standing beside me. I picked up the stick and put it down into the ash, and that popped a bone.
Something you recognized as a bone?
Yes.
And did you say anything to Deputy Dobbs when you noticed that?
I asked Deputy Dobbs what's that look like to you? He said,
without telling me what he said. Did you recognize it as anything?
Yes.
All right. What did you recognize it as?
I recognized it as a bone.
All right. We'll show you what it barked. It states Exhibit 27. Can you identify that for us, please?
Those were bones.
Okay. Multiple bones?
Yes.
And were those located in the ash pile on that day?
Yes, they were.
And did Deputy Dobbs package those up for evidence?
Yes, he did.
Okay. And as far as you know, were those eventually sent off for some sort of analysis?
Yes. I know we took a picture of the bone that I found and sent it to an anthropologist.
Okay. And is this a fair and accurate representation of those bones you found on that day?
Yeah.
All right. At this time, Judge, State will move to admit State's Exhibit 27.
No objection.
Were there any other objects found other than bones?
Yes, there was.
Can you tell us what else was located?
We found a button, a jean button. I think it was a ducky button, I believe.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as State Exhibit 28. Can you identify that for us, please?
That is the button we found in the pile.
Okay. Is that a fair and accurate representation, that button that was found in the pile on that day?
Yes, it is.
All right. At this time, we'll move to admit State's Exhibit 28.
Okay.
Admitted.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as State's Exhibit 29. Can you identify that for us, please?
That, I believe, is a three-piece finger bone.
Was that from the burn pile?
Yeah.
All right. Is that a fair and accurate representation of that finger bone?
Yes,
or what you believe to be a finger bone?
Yes, sir.
All right. From that burn pile?
Yes.
All right. I want to move to admit State's Exhibit 29.
Objection.
Admitted.
Sheriff Reed, did you have occasion to be in Springfield, Missouri in September 2017 and attempt to arrest the defendant?
Yeah.
Could you tell us about that?
I got information that her and her new husband was leaving the area. And I contacted Springfield CID Division and told them what I had. And he was going to be at the Greyhound bus station. And they put two undercover detectives inside the bus station. And me and my chief deputy stayed out in the weeds.
Okay. And did you observe the defendant enter the bus station?
Yes.
All right. And was the defendant arrested at that time?
Yes, I placed her under arrest for the charges.
Okay. Was she placed on a 24-hour hold at that time?
Yes.
Did she make any statements prior to when she was approached by law enforcement?
The only thing she said to me was, what am I charged with?
Okay. And did you advise her of any charges?
Yes.
What did you advise her of?
Murder.
And anything after that?
It was a pretty quiet ride from Springfield to Jamesville.
And did she have anything in her possession when she was arrested?
Yes, she did.
Do you recall what those things were?
Luggage. It just looked like all of her personal belongings.
Did one of your deputies seize those items from her upon her arrest?
Yes.
Mr. Williams, did you see the DNA for us, please?
The Lyon Williams.
Where you live, Mr. Williams?
Desert Missouri.
Yeah, are you in court, sir?
Yes.
Where are you? Scroll in. How long have you lived in Theodosius?
20 years.
In addition to your point at the West Plains Propane, do you do any volunteer work with the community?
Joe, I've been out of the fire department for 20 years.
And which fire department is that?
Terry.
And what's your position with the fire department?
Just firefighter now.
I want to direct your attention back to specifically to July 18th of 2017. Were you with the fire department at that time?
Yes.
And were you employed at that time?
Yes.
Who'd you work for then?
Isabella Ready Mix.
What'd you do for the Ready Mix?
I driver, mechanic.
So for everything?
And
in your employment with Theodosia Ready Mix, did you have occasion to know the defendant in this case, Rebecca Rood?
Yes.
How did you know Rebecca Rood?
She worked with us.
And what did the defendant do for the Ready Mix?
Driver.
Is that a pretty visible job?
Can be here.
Is he here doing visible work on the job? Is he capable of doing those kind of things?
Yeah.
Did you also know the defendant's biological daughter, Savannah Lucky?
Once she got down there, yeah.
Do you remember when she got down there?
No.
That I don't. Had you seen him more than one time?
Yeah. Seen her a few times.
Mayor Brosley, sure.
Okay.
I'll be sure it's Whitman Mark for identification. That states exhibit number one. Can you tell us who's depicted that program?
Spanish.
Does that fair and accurately show the way that Savannah looked at the time you are 2017? You're not going to offer state's exhibit number one?
Okay.
Get admitted. All right, Ms. Whelan, let's talk about that day, July 18th of 2017. Did you get a phone call from the defendant at that
time? Yes, ma'am.
For sure. Where were you when you got a phone call?
I was at work. I was going on a screening plan.
Do you remember by what time of the day it was?
It was afternoon, 3, 5-ish, something like that.
You said you were the captain of the fire department at that time?
At that time, yes, sir.
Really? To your knowledge, did the defendant have any involvement with the fire departments?
Yeah, she was, and she's doing the books, and she volunteered that time, too.
With Theodosia?
Yes, sir.
So you worked with the fires also?
Yes, sir.
Did you also go out and fight fires?
Yes, sir.
Was you capable physically of doing the hard work you guys did, fight fires?
Yeah.
Typically, how does the Theodosia volunteer fire department get dispatched to a fire?
From Ozark County, they dispatch the shower where our radio frequency.
Is that required?
Yeah. We can't just jump in our trucks and go.
You guys follow that, a tone out?
Yes.
So if you don't get the tone out, you can't throw the fire.
Right.
And when you got this call from the defendant on the afternoon of July 18, 2017, what did she tell you?
That had a fire going, and as I understood it, that it was in her hay or.
In her what?
Hay.
Okay. And were you familiar with the farm she was working at that time?
Yeah.
Where was the hay kept?
Inside the big shop / house.
Okay, so the hay would have been inside the structure?
Yes.
So did you interpret that as a structure fire?
Yes.
Is there a difference between a structure fire and brush fire when you deploy?
Yeah, we take different equipment.
So when she called you, you hadn't been toned out, right?
Right.
So what did you tell her?
That she needed to call NAM so that we could get toned out. But I told her I'd go ahead and head to the firehouse.
Because the defendant was involved with the fire department, did she have knowledge that you had to be toned out?
Your Honor, I'm going to object. That calls for speculation.
Say.
The fact is, she called you first.
Right.
But you did eventually get toned out?
Yes.
Did you go to the fire?
Yes.
And what vehicle did you take?
I drove the tank.
Describe the tanker for us. It holds 2,000 gallons of water. It's got a pump so we can hook to the other trucks and keep going in with water.
Big truck?
Yeah.
Like tons? Bigger than a 1-ton pickup?
Oh, yeah.
But it's only 8 tons.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a bobtail.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You normally take that tanker to a brush fire?
Not normally, no.
Because you thought you were going to a structure fire?
Yes, sir.
Describe where you come from the Ray Mix in Isabella?
Yes.
All right, so what did you do when you got there?
I parked a truck up there, jumped into the brush truck with Boff, was the one driving at that time.
Yeah, Boff last name?
Buckhart. And then we screened it on up the hill.
And did you see anybody when you first got on the property?
Just Reba. She was air directing us toward the fire with that up there in front of the house at a Y.
Did you notice anything about her at that time?
No.
Okay. Did you toss her at that time?
No.
So you went up to the fire. Mm-hmm. And was it actually a structure fire?
No, it was just a brush fire.
Okay. And how big was the brush fire?
About double the size of the shirt.
Okay.
And were you able to put the fire out?
Yep.
How long did that take?
What was the weather like that? Like, you guys normally wear, I'm going to use the term bunker here, I don't know anything else, big coats and stuff, and you do brush fires now. Would you have worn that day?
No.
Was it too hot to wear that kind of gear?
Yeah.
You know, how many firefighters were up there?
There's five or six of us, I'd say.
In relation to the shop slash house that you were describing before, where would you describe this area of the fire?
Southeast. Maybe 100 yards, 150 yards.
Uphill, downhill, load uphill. Okay, so it's uphill, 150 yards away?
Yeah, something like that.
How close did it get to the house?
That's about it.
150 yards away?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get much out of that area.
How many fire cars do you have up here? That car, your call. Was Tim Jeffrey one of those guys?
Yeah.
Robert Peake, Sr.?
Your Honor, I'm going to object to the nature of the question. He's obviously suggesting.
I'll move on, so I'm scared. It's fine. After you then put the fire out, what'd you do?
We headed all back onto the hill where the house was at and Reba and Veach Sr. was at.
Did you have any conversation with the defendant at that time?
At that time, she did. We were stopping to check on.
Stopping to check on? Why were we stopping to check on?
Because in the course of fighting the fire, we had found out that she had got burned.
Okay. And did you see any injuries on her?
I've seen some blistered on her arm at that point in time.
Did anybody treat those injuries?
Veach Sr. was.
Was there, so it was real hot that day. Was there any discussion about getting a drink of water?
Yeah, we had asked if we could get some water, me and John Lubers.
And who jabs?
I really don't remember. I don't know if it was her or if it was Junior.
Okay. And did somebody respond to that request?
Junior started to head us down there, and then she started telling us no.
Who's she?
Miss
Femme.
Yes, sir.
How did she say no? Hey, was it normal voice or no hot voice?
And she just said, no, 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 don't go down there.
Say why you didn't go down there?
She said Savannah was laying in the camper with trying to cool off, didn't have any clothes on, the windows were open.
Did you see Savannah that day?
No, I did not.
Did the defense say where Savannah was?
Just in the camper.
Okay. Did you see the camper?
Yeah.
In what relation to the building was the camper?
Maybe 30, 40 feet off the building.
And this would have been late afternoon?
Yeah.
Sun still out?
Barely. They got.
Was the camper in the sun?
I don't know at that point in time.
Didn't tell whether the camper was open?
Couldn't tell.
Did you get any close to the camp?
No.
So, because the defendant told you not to go there?
Right.
Did the defendant say anything about how she hinders her arm?
We were in a log splitter.
We were in a log splitter. Did you see a log splitter?
I did.
Where was it?
It was up by the greenhouse.
And how far is the greenhouse from the edge of the fire?
35 yards.
So about halfway between the house or the building and the fire?
Yeah.
75 yards away from where the fire is?
Yeah, somewhere around in there.
Can you describe the log splitter for us?
With draining, I think.
All right, how big is it?
Just your normal two-ton, you can buy like a arm source.
Could first pick it up?
Yeah, I mean, it's on wheels, so you pick it up for it.
Other than saying she was in the trailer, did the defendant say anything about Savannah's condition?
Not that I heard.
Did she say Savannah was injured?
Well, not that I heard.
After you refused water at the scene, what did you do?
We all left.
All of you?
As far as I know, all of us, yes. At least all of them sows on theater.
Did the occasion go back to that farm a couple of days later?
Why? Because we got called out for search and rescue.
Were you called out by no?
As our county. Or several other people would go.
And what was first going out there at that time?
Savannah was missing at that time. I thought she was running away.
Did you talk to the defendant that day?
No.
you see her that way? Huh? Did you see Savannah that way? What did you do when you got out there? That would have been July 20th? What time of the day was that, sir?
Four-ish, I would say, when I showed up over there. Highway Patrol already had command set up there right after the first gate.
Was our Kent Sheriff there as well?
Yes, they were there too.
And y'all got how many folks were there?
A lot. 30 to 50, I would say.
And this was, what, law enforcement, sheriff's office, Highway Patrol, first responders, voluntary, like yourself?
Yeah.
And just neighbors, folks, people, okay, well?
Yep. Pretty much everyone kicks in when something happens.
Then what'd you do when you're out there?
I got on the John Boober side by side, and we were at the county roads and tried to look in empty barns and houses and stuff like that.
How many days did you serve for them?
I don't remember. It's two or three, I would say.
2 to 3 days?
I'd say.
At that time, during those 2-3 days, when you had 50-some people out there searching, did you understand the defendant ever say that she had burned Savannah's body and left it up top of the hill?
No.
Y'all didn't know anything about that?
No.
You led to believe that wasn't the case, right?
Right.
Did the vacation go out there at night as well?
One time.
And what was that purpose?
They call it a vegan bar. What's a vegan bar? Roman Savannah would see it and come back if she liked fires, I guess.
That was out on the farm property?
Yes, sir.
How many folks were out there at that time?
Do what, I'm sorry?
How many folks were out there that time?
Five of us, maybe six.
You didn't want that beacon. Well, where was
it? It was down at the bottom of the hill and down by the creek where they'd been doing some clearing of brush.
It was at the bottom of the hill? And it was meant so somebody could see from a distance?
If they were up higher than it, hopefully, yes.
But wasn't at the top. So it's only to show you what's been hovered in evidence that states at number 24. Did you see that pile of brush up near the fire site when you were finding the fire on the 18th?
Well, there was a couple of little piles like that around, you know, and they had been all been seen.
And exhibit number 25, see how big that was? Was there a big pile like that up there?
I don't remember that big pile.
Said you had been around Savannah several times while she was alive?
3 times, yeah.
She ran patrolling as well? She played with patrolling? What kind of kid was she?
Quiet, sweet little kid.
Did you ever seem depressed to you?
You all the time. Thought I'd back, sir, for sure.
Could you state your full name for us, please?
Robert Eugene Page, Sr.
And, sir, where you live?
Lindon.
And that's in Ozark County?
Yes.
What do you do, collect, sir?
I'm disabled and I'm the fire chief of the Caney Mountain Walker Fire Department.
How long have you been with Caney Mountain?
16, just over 16 years.
And how long have you been the chief?
Been 15 of those.
And who is Robert Pete Jr.?
My son.
Sir, do you know the defendant in this case, Rebecca Rude?
Yes.
How you know Ms. Rude?
My son was dating her for a while. We ended up getting married.
I don't want to direct your attention back to the afternoon of July 18 of 2017. Remember where you were that afternoon? Was anybody there, Wiki?
My wife, her junior, was there. His kids were there. I think a couple of my daughter's kids were there, too.
And sometime that afternoon, did Robert Jr. get a phone call?
Yes.
And who was that phone call from?
Rebecca.
And what did he tell you after that phone call?
That there was a fire.
I'm going to check this at hearsay.
And Joe, this is foundational. Just gives grounds what happened there.
Is that for the truth, though?
It is not.
Okay.
Well, for real,
no, I thought it was the truth, though.
He got kind of excited and told me there was a fire that was threatening the barn, just the main building residence.
And where would that have been at?
That would be at the farm over in Storm and Theodosia.
And to your knowledge, who lived on that farm?
Reva and Halber. I don't really remember Halber.
Okay. Had you been to that farm before?
Yes.
After Robert got the phone call, he was going to go over there, and I told him, no, I'd go with him.
Is Robert also, I'm sorry, is Robert Jr. also a firefighter?
Yes. He was the lieutenant on the department.
At King Mountain.
Okay.
King Mountain and Theodosia. What's the proximity? They loaded close to each other? Or?
We're north of Gainesville, so there's us, Gainesville Fire Department, Theodosia Fire Department. And had you worked with Theodosia Fire Department in the past?
Yes.
So it was unusual to defuse funding the same fires?
It only happened a few times, but when they needed personnel, they called for EVA. It was available. Started with the closest department.
How did you get from your place in Zanoni to the site of the fire at Theodosia?
I believe we took my daughter-in-law's fiance's Toyota shirt, I believe.
And how long did it take you to get there?
I don't recall. It wasn't very long.
And what did you do once you got there?
Well, as Robert found the fire, Theodosia was there checking the dent and started addressing the outline of the fire.
Addressing the outline of the fire?
Basically making sure it's not going any...
Okay. So you put out fire?
Basically checked it.
Yeah, okay. Did you get put out?
Yes.
You remember how long it took you to get put out?
No, sir. I'm not sure how long Theodosia was there before I leave.
Yeah, but how long was that before you got there that you had done fighting fire?
15, 20 minutes, really. Not very long.
No. What did you do after that?
Set to Robert and Reba, and I think Kim Jeckers was there for the love.
Before you left your home to go to the fire, were you made aware of any possible injuries?
No, sir.
Now, in addition to be a firefighter, you are a first responder, correct?
Correct.
What does that mean? What's first responder?
I'm certified by medical first responder, so I give basic first aid. I've been trained bleeding control, airway, etc.
Burn treatment?
Yes.
And did you render treatment to anybody at the scene that day?
Rebecca.
And where was she injured?
Left arm.
What kind of injury was it?
Heart.
Did you have a conversation with the defendant at that time?
Talked a little bit. I remember Rebecca what about.
Did she tell you how she got burned? What kind of treatment did you give to her arm?
Offered her some bandaging and the cover.
And did you know Savannah Lucky?
Yes, I'd met her from Kern.
Did you get to your house?
Of course.
Did you see Savannah the day you're out there fighting the fire?
I don't think so. I don't recall exactly. I don't think I see her.
And were you made aware of any injuries to Savannah that day?
I was Kim with the water hydrant, and I think Rebecca told him though she's in the camper. Cooling off, she got overheated. Water hydrant was on the opposite side of the universe.
How close did you get to the camper?
About 30 feet.
And did it have windows on it?
Yeah. I believe they were all open.
Okay. What about the door?
The door was shut, I believe.
To your knowledge, was there any electricity to that camper?
I do not remember. The batteries were hooked up or if the generator is running. I don't remember.
With no external power? No political service from outside the property? What kind of a day was it?
Very hot. Very humid.
Was the camper in the sun? Direct your attention to a couple of days after that. Did you have occasion to go out to farm again?
Yeah, when they said Savannah was missing, I went out there to help look.
You know about what time of day you were out there?
No, sir.
How late did you say that day?
It was well after dark.
How many people were out there?
They were scattered everywhere looking. I didn't have a head count.
Did you go out there more than once?
I went out the first day. I don't recall if I went the same day or not.
Recall seeing the defendant joining that search for Savannah?
Nothing.
Yes.
Yeah. She was kind of frantic, looking around the main structure of the barn.
You said you're out there maybe twice?
I'm out there the first day with your quarter mission. I don't recall if I went back the second day or no.
Okay. One time you're out there searching with those other folks, did you find the same thing about
Savannah's body being burned up atop the hill? At some other time after Savannah's remains were found burned on top of the hill,
did you hear the time say anything about Savannah and what happened to her that day?
I believe her words were, "What am I supposed to do when my daughter throws herself in the fire?" That's all I have to think.
Sale call Winston Collins. His state name for the record?
Winston Collins.
And how are you currently employed?
With the Christian County Sheriff's Office.
How were you employed back in July 2017?
I was the Chief Deputy Sheriff for the Ozark County Sheriff's Office.
And how long were you the Chief Deputy Sheriff in Ozark County?
I was hired as a sergeant, I believe, in 2013, and was shortly promoted Chief Deputy Sheriff.
And how long have you been in law enforcement?
This will be my 14th year.
Do you recall July 20th, 2017?
Yes, I do.
And why do you recall that date?
That was the reported date of the disappearance of Savannah Leckie.
All right. And were you dispatched to any particular location?
Yes, I was.
Where were you dispatched to?
4118 County Road 95 in Beato.
Is that in Ozark County?
Yes, sir, it is.
And does this location have electrical service?
They had the use of a generator.
All right. So what time did you get to the location you were dispatched to that day?
I received notification around 10:45 hours, so approximately 40 minutes to that location.
And when you got there, did you have the occasion to speak to anyone?
Yes, I did.
Who did you speak to that day?
Rebecca Rude.
Is Miss Rude here in the courtroom set?
Yes.
Could you identify as her for the record for us and tell us what she's wearing?
She's at the defense table. She's wearing a white or cream feathered jacket or shirt.
All right. Thank you. I ask that the record reflect that the witness ID the defendant.
Here, Will.
Thank you. And the information that you had for the call was that what was the information you had about the call up to that point?
That a 16-year-old female, Savannah Leckie, was missing from a property.
All right. And did you ask the defendant about Miss Leckie?
Yes, I mean, I got there.
And can you tell us what the defendant told you about Miss Leckie and her circumstances in missing that day?
That she was last seen approximately around the end the night before July 19th, 2017.
Did she indicate anything about what may have happened to her, what she thought may have happened to her?
She expressed that she was most likely ran away from the residence.
And did she tell you anything about Savannah's demeanor?
Not that I can recall, as I said to them.
Were any actions taken by the defendant, to your knowledge, to attempt to locate Miss Leckie that morning?
Your Honor, I'm going to object to that. I think that he's asking him for something. I'm not sure he knows the answer to, and about whether somebody else did something.
I can rephrase my question, Judge.
Rephrase.
Did the defendant tell you anything about whether or not she attempted to locate Miss Leckie that morning?
She made a comment regarding a honking out below during the early hours. That's about as specific as I recall.
Okay. Did the defendant tell you anything about Savannah's family life?
Yes, she did.
All right. Can you explain what she told you?
She explained that when Savannah was born, that she was adopted by a family in Minnesota, and that throughout those years, she had periodic contact with Savannah and the adopted family from Minnesota.
Okay. And did the defendant tell you when Savannah ended up in her care in custody?
Yes, it was several years later. I do not recall the long-term year, but it was within a short period of time before it disappeared.
Did the defendant tell you where Savannah lived on the farm?
Yes, she did.
Where was that?
It was a pull-behind camper trailer that was maxed with a metal structure.
I'm going to show you where that marked as Stang's Exhibit 13. Do you recognize that photograph?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what is that what is that a photograph of?
This photograph refers the metal structure as well as the full body camper trailer.
Is that is that the Brew Farm?
Yes.
All right. Is that a fair and accurate representation of the Brew Farm?
Yes, it is.
All right. At this time, Judge, I'll move to Admit State's Exhibit 13.
No objection.
As amended.
Did the defendant mention Savannah having any friends or social contacts?
She expressed that she had very little social contacts and that she was high school through a online burglary.
Now, on the 20th, was a search conducted by members of law enforcement, volunteers, and civilians of the Brew Bar?
Yes, it was.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit about that search? What did that entail?
The search was, the participants in the search was from the area volunteer fire department and first responders. 12 volunteers as well as employees with our office, as well as outside assistance with the Baxter County Sheriff's Office.
And was that search successful or unsuccessful?
It was unsuccessful.
Were there any sign of Savannah that day on the farm?
No, there was not.
Where was the defendant during the search?
On the property.
Did she participate in the search in any way?
Not that I can recall.
Was Savannah entered into any sort of national database for missing children?
Yes, she was.
Sorry. And did your agency take steps to inform other agencies about her missing?
Yes, we did.
Okay. You were called July 24th of 2017.
I do.
Why you were calling that day?
It was the beginning of my tour the following Monday. It's where I received information from Pastel and another deputy, and also responded to the Brew Farm to follow up the investigation.
Okay. So you went back out to the Brew Farm on that day?
Yes, I did.
And did you meet with the defendant again?
Yes, I did.
Did the defendant provide you with a typed statement?
She provided our office with a typed statement, but I didn't review it.
Okay, or respond it. Do you know who took that statement into custody?
That was then my corporal, Curtis Dawkins.
Okay. And did you and Deputy Dobbs go out to the property that day with the intent of interviewing the defendant, Robert Feet Jr.?
Yes, we did.
Okay. How did you conduct those interviews?
I recall interviewing Robert Feet Jr. first, and during our conversations there on the property, we had a more formal interview from our conversations that we had prior.
Were they interviewed separately or together?
Separately.
Why do you interview individuals separately like that?
It's an easier tool to gather information when you separate parties versus having them converge in the same state.
During the questioning that day of the two parties, did you and Deputy Dobbs learn of some missing narcotics?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And did you question the defendant about those missing narcotics?
Yes, I did.
And why did you do this?
I felt that it was unusual that this was the first time that I received that information. And I confronted her on the matter of why it was not disclosed earlier.
Okay. And what did she say when you confronted her about the missing pills?
She stated it would make her fears a reality, or worse to that effect.
And did that conclude your visit with the defendant on July 24th?
To my knowledge, yes.
Did you go back out to the property the next day, July 25th?
Yes, I did.
On that day, were you did you go by yourself or were you accompanied by anyone?
I previously arranged and had contact with the Gateway search team. I was also accompanied by the members of our office.
The Gateway search team, what is that?
A canine search team aided us with two human detection dogs and one scent dog.
And are those dogs, to your knowledge, to look for living people or cadavers?
It was my understanding that having two human detection dogs could sniff out a person deceased, and the scent dogs could scent out a live person.
All right. And what was the weather like on that day on the 25th?
Much like it is now, it was very hot. When the met up,
early that morning, around 9 o'clock in the morning, and then proceeded to the Reed farm.
Were you at all successful in locating any sign of Savannah on the 25th?
No, we were not successful.
A couple days later, on July 27th, did you go back out to the farm then?
Yes, I did.
All right. And what was the purpose of going out to the property on that day?
To further the investigation, to follow up with any new information. I believe there was an additional, much smaller search of the chamber.
All right, property.
Was this a consent search?
Yes, it was.
All right. So the defendant gave you the consent to search for property?
Yes, Your Honor.
Was the camper trailer searched on that disc?
I believe so.
And who conducted that camper trailer search?
It would have been between myself and then Corporal Curtis Dobbs.
Okay. And did the defendant voluntarily provide any other documents or items on that date to you?
Not that I can recall.
Okay. Now, finally, I'm going to direct your attention to August 4th of 2017. Do you recall August 4th?
Yes, I did.
All right. And at that point, did you get go to a court and get a search warrant to search the defendant's property?
Or office bill, yes.
Okay. And what were you searching for on that day?
Human remains.
And did you apply and receive that search warrant to go and execute it on the fort?
Yes, our office did.
Okay. Did you go out to the property to execute that warrant?
Yes, I did.
And who else was with you?
My then Corporal Curtis Dobbs, Sheriff Darren Reed, and I assume others.
Okay. When you arrived to the property, was the property open or locked out?
It was locked.
Right. Did you or someone from your office attempt to make contact with the defendant?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Was that you or someone else?
It was someone else. Okay.
Was the defendant asked for consent to search the property that day?
Yes, she was.
And did she grant consent?
She did not.
Okay. Was the defendant informed at the search warrant?
Yes, she was.
And did you and the other members of the sheriff's office proceed to search the property on that day?
Yes, we did.
Had anything on her property been locked up to that point in the previous searches?
No. Not in the previous search.
Okay. But so this was the first search where everything was locked?
Yes, that is correct.
And do you recall what, if anything, was found on August 4th, 2017 on the property?
We discovered human remains.
Okay. Did you later apply for another search warrant on August 9th of 2017?
Yes, I did.
All right. What was that search warrant for?
To further the search for human remains.
Was that in response to what had been found on the August 4th search?
Yes, it was.
And did you and other members of your office go out to the defendant's property again?
Yes, we did.
And were there also civilians present that day?
Yes, there was.
Who was present that day?
He was accompanied by an anthropologist, Mark Ferry, as well as a
drilling operator, drill engine.
All right. And when you came to that property that day, was the property once again secured with locks?
Yes, it was.
And were those locks removed?
Yes, they were.
Was the defendant there during the execution of the search warrant?
No, she was not.
Okay. And did you and other members of the Ozark County Sheriff's Office and Dr. Barry search burn pile on that day?
Yes, we did.
All right. You recall finding any sort of, hey, any items that were not burned?
I'm going to have to object to as leading. He's been doing this for a while, too, again. He's telling him what to say. Or while your answers are.
Well, again, once again, leading is suggesting the answer to the question. I'm not giving him the answer to the question, Mr. Ball. The presentation report. So Mark Berry searched the burn. Did you assist in that search?
Yes, I did.
What was recovered from that file during search?
We furthered our discovery of human remains and also found some clothing items, we believe to be clothing items.
All right. Did you package those clothing items?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Was that you personally, or was another deputy packaging those items?
My then Corporal Curtis Dogg was assigned as evidence custodian during the search.
And when you
When you have an investigation like this, is it normal to have one person handling all the evidence?
No, it is not normal.
Okay. Was Deputy Dodds in charge of the evidence in this case?
Yes, he was.
Okay. Do you recall August 21st, 2017?
Yes, I do.
Okay, why do you recall that date?
August 21st was when Rebecca Rude was
arrested at the bus station.
Okay. Was that bus station here in Springfield?
Yes, it was.
Can you tell us about the arrest of the defendant up to that point?
The local agency here in Springfield, they assisted us in locating her, having a visual of Ms. Rude while we stood by to facilitate the arrest.
Where were you in relation to the bus section?
You're all very familiar with the layout of Springfield, but we were in a short distance from the bus station. I believe we were in viewing distance of the terminal or other buses.
Is it fair to say this was a surveillance operation?
Yes, we.
And had the defendant been formally charged at this point?
No, she is not.
All right. Did you or another member of your agency make an arrest of her on that date?
Yes, we did.
Who made the arrest?
It would have been between Sheriff Reed, then Corporal Curtis Dawes, and myself.
All right. Do you remember what time that arrest was made?
I do not recall the time.
All right. Was she placed on a 24-hour hold?
Yes, she was.
Did she have anything on her when she was arrested?
Yes, she did.
Couldn't tell us what was on her?
She had a large amount of luggage, personal content, other contents.
Okay. What kind of personal contents? So did you have occasion to search those personal contents?
Yes, I did.
Was that pursuant to an inventory search of her personal property?
It began as an inventory search, but then a application was applied for a search warrant.
Okay. And was that inventory search being done pursuant to an agency policy?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. Did you do anything on this case on August 24th, 2017?
Yes, I did.
What did you do on that day?
August 24th was a day that the Baxter County Sheriff's Office allowed me to ride in their helicopter to view from Ashburnside from crime scene.
Okay. I'm going to show you what I marked as State's Exhibit 16. Can you identify that for us, please?
Yes, I can.
Okay. What is that?
The bottom left-hand corner is the metal structure previously referenced. And this is a road that goes up through the woods into the area of the bum site.
All right. Let me get a pen here. And could you mark the spot on here with my pen where the burn site is in that photograph? And did you take this photograph on August 24th?
Yes, I did.
Was that from a helicopter?
Yes, it was.
All right. Is that a fair and accurate representation of that location on that date?
It is.
All right. I'll show you what I've marked the State's Exhibit 15. Can you identify that for us, please?
Yes, I can.
What is that?
This is a more close-up image of the burn site.
All right. Is that a fair and accurate representation of the burn site on that day?
Yes, it is.
All right. At this time, I move to admit State's Exhibit 15. Your objection.
Admitted.
Now, I'm going to direct your attention to September 1st of 2017. On that date, did you do anything with the defendant's personal property that was recovered back during her arrest on the 21st?
I believe that was the initial inventory of the property.
Okay. And did you do that inventory?
I began the inventory, but later stopped.
Okay. And did you have occasion to get a search warrant to look at those items?
Yes, I did.
And did you receive a search warrant?
Yes, I did.
All right. And did you execute that search warrant by looking at those items?
Yes, I did.
All right. What did you find in the defendant's personal effects during that search?
In one of the notebooks or binders, there were several handwritten documents.
Was there anything about the items that you believed had evidentiary value?
Yes, there was.
Okay. I'm going to show you what I marked as Stacy's in 5. Can you tell us what that is?
It's one of the documents or things that was contained in a notebook.
Okay. And why would you believe this to be significant?
Because of the content of the writings.
Okay. And is that actual paper that you recovered from the defendant?
Yes, it is.
on that August 21st day? Yes, it is. All right. Judge, at this time, I'll move to admit State's Exhibit 5.
Yes.
Admitted. I want to show you what I marked as State's Exhibit 6. Can you identify that for us, please?
Yes, I remember.
Okay, what is that?
This is another document that was contained in the writings.
Okay. And that was one of the writings that was found on August 21st during her arrest?
Yes.
Okay. And the writing there appears to contain various different types of criminal charges. Would that be a fair statement?
That would be my interpretation.
Okay. When the defendant had been arrested at that point on August 21st, had she not been charged by the prosecutor, correct?
That is correct.
All right. So no charges were pending?
No, it is not. All right.
And that's the actual document that was recovered from the defendant?
Yes, it's the actual one.
All right. At this time, we'll move to admit State's Exhibit 6 in evidence.
No objection.
You admitted?
I will show you what I've marked as State's Exhibit 7. Could you identify that for us, please?
Yes, I can.
And what is that?
This is another document that was contained in that notebook.
Okay. And there's a number of scribbled notes on there. Did you believe anything on that paper to be significant to your case?
Yes.
What on that paper did you believe to be significant?
There are several sections that are scratched out. One of these is scratched out. It says charged, airplane mode, phone off, and it is crossed out.
And the defendant was arrested at the bus station, correct?
That is correct, Mark.
And this is the actual copy of that document that was seized from the defendant?
Yes, it is.
All right, at this time, Judge, I'll move to admit State's Exhibit 7.
Objection.
Admitted.
Now I'm going to fast forward several years later, Deputy Collins. Do you recall January 24th of 2020?
Yes, I do.
And why do you recall that date?
That was a date that it was arranged for me to do a prop up with Robert Peet Jr. and Attorney Pace.
Okay. At the conclusion of that meeting, did you take into possession anything?
I did.
What did you take into possession of?
A small digital record.
Can you identify, I'm showing you what it marked as State's Exhibit 2. Can you identify that for us, please?
Yes.
And what is that?
This is the box that I packaged containing the digital recording.
Okay. And it's got some evidence tape on it?
Yes, it does.
All right. And did that recorder remain in your possession until it was turned over to the Attorney General's office in 2020? Sometime 2020.
Did it not maintain in my possession, but with the Ozark County Sheriff's Office?
Okay. Does that appear to be the same digital recorder that you received from Robert Peet Jr. on that date?
Yes, it's the same one.
Okay. And how do you recognize it?
Most notably, it has a play and a stop button. I remember being overly concerned that it, the need to push over it so it did not accidentally.
And so, did you activate the recording device at some point?
Yes, I did.
And listen to its contents?
Yes, I did.
And was there one single recording on the device, multiple recordings, or no recording?
I believe there is more than one recording, but yes, I recall specifically.
And listening, did you listen to those recordings?
I listened to a recording.
Okay. You listened to a recording. When you listened to that particular recording, did you recognize any voices in that recording?
Yes, I did.
Whose voices did you recognize?
I recognized Rebecca Root and Nia. Yeah, so maybe this is a public defender.
Is that someone that works with public defender's office?
Yes, sir.
Do you know where her position is at that office?
I believe she's an investigator for the public defender's office.
And did you listen to the entirety of that recording?
Yes, I did.
You said you were afraid of operating the recording device. So why were you afraid of operating it?
It's a, for lack of a better term, a obsolete type recorder. It has very few functions on the device, and I was worried that it would get deleted unintentionally.
Okay. Did you preserve the recording of the defendant and Mina and the recording that you listened to? Did you preserve it in any way?
Yes, I did.
How did you preserve it?
I recorded it through a recording app.
perhaps from my phone. Okay. I'm going to show you what I've marked as State's Exhibit 3. Do you recognize this disc?
Yes, I do. I viewed it earlier.
Okay. And does that contain a fair and accurate representation of the recording that was found on the digital recording device?
Yes, it does.
Then, is it a direct copy of that recording?
This time, Judge, I would move to admit State's Exhibits 2 and 3 in the evidence.
Yes, just a moment.
Even flavor cake.
Yes. Whatever you might, but if there's anything under the table, let's call it a theater and play it. And we will play it. We've got a laptop. There we go. Jar set it. I meant that. Okay.
Your Honor, we have no objection to number 2, and then we just have the continuing objection to item number 3.
Fair. I'll admit to the degree based on the Supreme Court ruling in this case.
Thank you, Judge. And, Judge, we do have a transcript that has previously been provided to the defense for this case, and I have that for the court available to read Thornton as it's being played.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.